thief would be dealt with by those whose responsibility that was. The Shi'ar religion has its streak of bureaucratic rectitude, too. Even such a small commotion attracted official attention. Three tall, gray-clad, bearded Shi'ar peacekeepers wearing white turbans advanced through the press. They looked around constantly, intently oblivious to the fact that they traveled in an island of open space. The streets of Taglios are packed day and night, yet the masses always find room to shrink away from the greys. The greys are all men with hard eyes, seemingly chosen for their lack of patience and compassion. Tobo drifted away, sliding through the mob like a black snake through swamp reeds. When the greys inquired about the commotion, no one could describe him as anything but what prejudice led them to presume. A Nuangbao thief. And there was a plague of those in Taglios. These days the capital city boasted plenty of every kind of outlander imaginable. Every layabout and lackwit and sharpster from the length and breadth of the empire was migrating to the city. The population had tripled in a generation. But for the cruel efficiencies of the Greys, Taglios would have become a chaotic, murderous sink, a hellfire fueled by poverty and despair. Poverty and despair existed in plentitude, but the palace did not let any disorder take root. The palace was good at ferreting out secrets. Criminal careers tended to be short, as did the lives of most who sought to conspire against the Radisha or the Protector. Particularly against the Protector, who did not concern herself deeply with the sanctity of anyone else's skin. In times past, intrigue and conspiracy had been a miasmatic plague afflicting every life in Taglios. There was little of that anymore. The Protector did not approve. Most Taglians were eager to win the Protector's approval. Even the priesthoods avoided attracting Soulcatcher's evil eye. At some point, the boy's black clothing came off, leaving him in the Goonie-style loincloth he had worn underneath. Now he looked like any other youngster, though with a slightly jaundiced cast of skin. He was safe. He had grown up in Taglios. He had no accent to give him away. Chapter 4. It was the waiting time, the stillness, the doing nothing that there is so much of before any serious action. I was out of practice. I could not lean back and play tonk or just watch while One-Eyed Goblin tried to cheat each other. And I had writer's cramp, so could not work on my annals. "Tobo," I called. "You want to go see it happen?" Tobo was 14. He was the youngest of us. He grew up in the Black Company. He had a full measure of youth's exuberance and impatience and overconfidence in his own immortality and divine exemption from retribution. He enjoyed his assignments on behalf of the company. He was not quite sure he believed in his father. He never knew the man. We tried hard to keep him from becoming anyone's spoiled baby, but Goblin insisted on treating him like a favorite son. He was trying to tutor the boy. Goblin's command of written Taglian was more limited than he would admit. There are 100 characters in the everyday Vulgate, and 40 more reserved to the priests, who write in the High Mode, which is almost a second unspoken formal language.